Hey, beautiful people. Welcome back to the Kingdom Dynamics podcast. I'm Jonathan here in Melbourne, Australia, and today is going to be an exceptionally provocative and deep podcast and controversial. So just want to start this podcast by saying that according to Jude, to the pure, all things are pure. So to the pure, all things are pure. And that's in the Bible there, according to Titus chapter 1, verse 15. So the devil is really not going to want you to hear this, because this is an incredible application of the kingdom of God. And I just want you to understand that I'm driving at the moment. Sometimes God wants me to do a podcast when I'm driving, so I believe that he does that to test, you know, whether we're really wanting to listen to the word of God. For example, Jesus was often speaking outdoors. You know, there would have been crying babies, there would have been, you know, Roman soldiers telling people to move along. There would have been the hustle and bustle of everyday life. So just realize that I'm driving, and that the Holy Spirit can still use you through this message. So just want to open by saying, Father, I just want to thank you for the amazing kingdom of God. I also want to thank you that you are the kingdom, Jesus. As we see your interactions with people in the Bible, we can imagine ourselves interacting with the kingdom. Your parables, Lord, and your teaching was describing how we could live life in the kingdom, that it's actually our weakness that allows your strength to move in our hearts. It's actually our ability to be teachable, to be hungry, that allows us to step into the kingdom, that the kingdom does belong to little children. So today I want to talk about a lot of very different things, and the very heavy things, very difficult things. I want to talk about the order of God. You know, God has created everything through creation, through his word. Everything that exists has its being through Jesus Christ, who is the Word. God created everything through Jesus Christ, who is the Word. And we have an opportunity to be standing on the Word, and that is the rock of Christ. There are many people today who do not stand upon the rock. Unfortunately, there are Christians who do not build their life, you know, entirely on the rock of Christ, and the foundations are very crooked. They're very unstable. So when the winds and the waves come, they easily topple over. Peter said that we've been born of imperishable seed, indestructible seed. So if we really are born again, according to John, who Jesus loved, then we will walk as Jesus walked. We will love our neighbor. We will love our brother. But if we don't love our brother, who's a fellow believer, then we don't know God. So we know the light from the darkness. Those who are of the light, they practice the light. Those who are of the darkness, they practice the darkness. Anyone who sins is of the devil. I said anyone who sins is of the devil. And if you're born of God, you will not sin. And that's according to John, and that's according to the Bible. But if you do sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin if you confess your sin. But if you deny your sin, you're making God out to be a liar. And he's not a liar. So there might be a person who is, say, homosexual. And let's say that this person is in a relationship with another homosexual, and that this relationship is consensual. So both of these people, they want to have sex together, they want to be together, and both of them agree. They might even sign a contract and be married, legally married. So they're having consensual sex. But listen to me here, don't give up. The Bible actually says that that is still an abusive relationship. And let me explain to you why. You know, if a man was to take a chicken and have sexual intercourse with a chicken, you might say that that is an abnormal use of the chicken. You know, because there's an order of God. There's an order of God, and there's a purpose, and there's a place for everything under God. The place for man is to be submitted to God. That's his place. His purpose is to fill the earth with people that glorify God, who are made in his image. And so God actually created family. He created an unbreakable covenant, because family is built upon an unbreakable covenant. You could, you know, give your children to the government to raise, or to a private corporation, or to a friend. But really, the safest place for your children is with you, with the husband and the wife. Why? Why is the husband and wife any different to the state or the friend? Well, the security is in the unbreakable covenant. And I'm going to talk a lot about covenant, because every covenant is made in with blood being shed. When God killed the first animal to create clothes for Adam and Eve, there was the shedding of blood. In fact, when God created marriage, he created marriage by saying to Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. I'm going to create a helper for you, and you guys are going to become one flesh. But every covenant has to be signed. When an athlete wins the race, he cuts through the ribbon with his body at the end of the marathon, at the end of the run. And there is no argument about who came first or second, because if the person who came second was the winner, then he would have cut the ribbon. But after that person cuts the ribbon with their chest, there is no more debate. It doesn't matter who comes second or third. If that ribbon is broken, there is no argument. And Adam and Eve, you see, Eve had a hymen. And a hymen is like a ribbon that can be broken, but only once. A hymen is like a veil and a covering to the entrance to the womb. And once it's broken, there's an unbreakable covenant. Adam tore the veil of Eve's hymen, which is the shedding of blood. Because every blood covenant, every covenant in the Bible has the shedding of blood. Every covenant has the shedding of blood. Jesus Christ even said, this is the blood of the new covenant. This covenant is in my blood. Even the demonic leaders of the world today sacrifice blood to their god, the devil. And remember, the devil has a kingdom, but everything the devil does is a counterfeit and a copy of God, but a perverted version of the copy of God. So God has ambassadors, the devil has ambassadors. God has angels, the devil has his demons. God has an anointing, the devil has an anointing. God demands that any sacrifice be perfect and pure and holy and without blemish. But the devil's sacrifices are perverted and under destruction. These wars that you see on TV and everything the devil does is to destroy, to kill, to steal. And he actually gains power. In fact, the rulers of this world, they want to shed blood because they are invoking their covenant with the devil. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Abraham had to shed blood by cutting the foreskin of his son, which represents the opening of our hearts to God, the circumcision of our hearts to reveal that very tender, very sensitive part of a man. When he cut that foreskin, it was like cutting of a ribbon. In fact, when you sign a document, it cannot be unsigned. Once you've signed a document, it's been signed. You can't unsign the document. If you have a document with a signature on it, that's it. It cannot be dissolved, you know, really, unless you, you know, sign another document that supersedes the previous document. So what's this got to do with chickens and homosexuality? Everything! Because everything God made is good, and everything God does is good. But people have the ability to choose. I can choose to pick up a rock and use it as a weapon. I can choose to pick up a rock and use it to build a house. So the rock is neither good nor bad, but it's the intention of man upon this creation, because he's given us authority over all of creation. If I was to take a BMW Z3 and decide to drive it underwater, that is not the purpose of a BMW. That is the purpose of a submarine. But if I was to say, no, look, it's my BMW, it's my choice. I paid $400,000 for a Z3 and I'm going to drive it underwater. Well, you've ruined it for its purpose. That car will never drive on the land. The engine will be full of water. The oxidization of the metal will destroy and rust everything inside. The interior of the car, the leather will just be disgusting and stink and moldy. And it won't be roadworthy. You won't even be allowed to drive it. Even if you tried to restore it, it would be really unrestorable. Because it's not the intended purpose or place for a car. Similarly, if you take a bird and decide that bird wants to swim underwater, it's going to die. A bird cannot survive underwater. In the same way, if you were to take a fish and put it in a treehouse, the fish is going to die. Because everything God created has a purpose and a place. And the purpose of man is to submit to God. The purpose of man is to glorify God and to worship God, and to depend on God in his kingdom. Because the very act of sin is the very act of treason. Because this earth was under a kingdom and under a king. And God gave the earth to man. And man created the act of treason, which is rebellion. Man created his own government in opposition to God. And this is what empowered the devil to rule this earth temporarily. So if I take a baby rabbit that's alive and I polish my car with this living baby rabbit because it's so fluffy and it makes the car look nice, then I would probably consider that to be animal abuse. And the same with a chicken. To have sex with a chicken is animal abuse. Why? Because the purpose for that car is to drive on the road. The purpose for the bird is to be in the air. The purpose for the fish is to be in the tree. And the purpose for man is to be under God. And if a man is in a marriage relationship with a man, yes, that's legal. And if that man was to have consensual sex with another man, that is legal. And even if those men both proclaimed that they enjoyed the sex, it is still an abnormal use. Well, so what? What's the problem? If they enjoy it, who cares if God says it's an abnormal use? Well, the problem with abuse is that it has consequences. That car is going to be undrivable. You know, that chicken is not going to be able to lay any eggs. And that rabbit is not going to be alive for very long if you keep dunking its head in a bucket. So even though those men in that example are legally married and consensual, the very act of sexual intercourse, according to the Bible, it is a sin, yes, but also it has an effect. Because sin, according to the Bible, leads to death. You know, no wonder there are so many diseases these days, because we're doing so many things that are abnormal. It's not normal the way that we grow our food. It's not normal the way that we treat each other and treat our animals and a whole bunch of other things. So when you have sex outside of marriage, and when you do anything outside of the order of God and the purpose of God and the place that God put it in, it will have a damaging effect upon you personally and upon society. You may not know. You may think you're doing the right thing according to your own values, and you might be doing something that's legal and encouraged by your government, and you might physically enjoy it for a moment, but I'm telling you the truth, it is killing your soul, it is killing your spirit, and it is absolutely harming your body as well. Whether you believe it or not, this is the truth, and I love you. You know, if I'm a vegan, I'm going to be greatly disturbed by watching you eat meat, especially if I believe that, you know, that animals are real people with a soul and a conscience, and they're real. For me to watch you do that is going to cause me great, great harm. But I can't tell you not to be a vegan. That's your free will. But I believe it's the same. You know, for me, I love you. You know, if one of my friends or even one of my children, you know, committed murder, I would be very, very heartbroken for them. But I would still love them. I would not agree with what they did. I'd be very, very grieved for what they did. And I would want them to receive their right punishment. You know, if my friend murdered somebody, you know, I'd tell them to go to the police and go to jail and do their time, and hope for not only retribution but rehabilitation. I believe in these foundational aspects of law. I believe in democracy. I believe in capitalism. But I believe that the true government is the government of God. And the only way to follow God's government is to be born again by the Spirit of God. You cannot have a law outside of yourself telling you what to do, what not to do. That doesn't work. You need the law of God to be written on your heart by the Spirit of God. And that is being called born again. If a man is with a man, or a woman is with a woman, or a man is with a chicken or a child, this is an abnormal use. It is abuse. It is illegal. It is, well, not all three of those, but it is clear to you that you're not. Anyway, I pray for you. If you're struggling with any of these things, I pray for you. Like my friend in this hypothetical, if I have a friend or a relative who commits murder, I would still love them. I love you. I love you. Even though you're doing what you're doing, God loves you because He sees you the way that He created you. He sees you with a purpose. And today is an invitation to take on the purpose of God, for which you will be totally fulfilled. Totally fulfilled. You may think you want to win Tats Lotto. You may think that you want to sleep with 1,000 men or 1,000 women, and the most amazing experience you could ever have would be to have a harem. But I'm telling you the truth, if it's not what God wants for you, just read about Solomon. Read what he said about having 1,000 wives. He was miserable. Because the purpose for God, the purpose of God for you, man or woman, husband or wife or child, citizen or slave, is to know God and to obey Him. It's so true that the fulfillment of your soul, the fulfillment of your spirit in ecstasy is to obey God. It is the most beautiful thing to obey God. Just think about your own life when you received a compliment from an authority figure, a teacher, a parent, a neighbor, when you did something right. The right thing to do is so rewarding. Just look at Macbeth. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your righteous judgments, God. We thank you for your righteous law. We don't care what people think, Father God, because we're not even of this world. Jesus, you said, don't be surprised when the world hates you, because it hated me. Because you are not of this world, as I am not of this world. Guys, if you're born again, then you're a citizen of heaven. You don't belong here. According to Hebrews, you're just a pilgrim and a sojourner and a temporary resident in this world that will fall away. I just want to talk ever so briefly about control. You know, control is very, very dangerous thing to have. And, you know, God just, he loves you. He knows that you want to have control and he understands why. You know, we were never meant to die. We were never meant to have this knowledge of good and evil. God cannot be tempted. That's why he could eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but man couldn't, because God cannot be tempted, because in him there is no darkness. You know, he's not going to want to look at a pornographic magazine. Why would he? Because there's no sin. He can't sin. He can't even, you know, think an evil thought. But man, for whatever reason, we have that ability, that carnal nature, which God and Jesus Christ said we need to crucify daily. We need to die to ourselves daily. Jesus said, if you lose your life, you'll find it. If you deny yourself, he said, if you seek first the kingdom, you will find it. So we've got to set our mind on things above, not things below, because unfortunately we ate of that tree. Now we know good and evil, and it's too much for us. But he's actually made a way. He said, I'll make you a slave of righteousness. In the same way that you could not stop doing evil, you will now not be able to stop doing good. So you don't want to smoke. You don't want to drink. You don't want to hurt other people because you have a brand new heart. I'm telling you, we are greater than Adam and Eve. God's not restoring us back to Adam and Eve. He's not restoring the earth back to the garden. It's far better than that. He's restoring us up to Jesus. We are being made into his image. We're being transformed into the image of Christ. Hallelujah. Our destiny on this earth is to become like him, to be transformed into the exact image of Jesus, who is the exact image of the Father. And I want to say this to you, that the kingdom is Jesus, and Jesus is the kingdom. He is the walking, moving realm of God's kingdom. And right now, he's seated in heaven, and you are on the earth. You are his kingdom. If you are born again, you are his kingdom, a kingdom of priests and kings. Your finger is the finger of God when you point with that power of the Holy Spirit under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Your voice is the rushing of many waters. Your eyes are the flame of fire, because the very armor of God that you're wearing is Jesus himself. The very word that you're speaking are his words. Because you are the body of Christ. Your body is his body. At any moment, you could be taken up. At any moment, your body could transition over into heaven like Enoch. So, about this control, people want to have control. Like, I know a person who cuts themselves because, or used to cut themselves, because they just didn't have control. They wanted to have control. Some people take drugs. Some people drink too much. Some people work too much, workaholics. But what they are looking for is control, because control is the ability to deal with your pain. The reason you want to win Tats Lotto isn't about the money. The reason you want to look good and have a beautiful body and it isn't about the way you look. It's because you know and believe that the money can buy you anything. That your money can take away your pain. Your money can get you that car, get you that job, take away the rejection, because then people will like you because you are successful and you are beautiful. And that is such a lie. You've seen the Hollywood actresses and actors who own billions of dollars, and they are miserable. And they drug themselves out of their mind, and they are found dead in their own vomit. Because no matter, you can gain the whole world, but what does it benefit you if you forfeit your soul? And that's what I'm saying. You know, if you're a pedophile or a homosexual or even a Christian who's not following God, what does it benefit you? Because if you lose your soul. Because at the end of the day, all sexual sin is about control. You know, just look at bondage. Just look at all the Hollywood movies that talk about, you know, kinky sex and bondage and leather straps and handcuffs. What is it about handcuffs if it's not about control? What is it about pornography? Because that woman can't run away from you. She can't reject you when she's on the page. She can't tell you that you're ugly. She can't tell you that you're fat. She has to take it, doesn't she? She can't reject you because she's a 2D image. It's about control. You pathetic man. Would you stop it? Would you stop it? In the name of Jesus Christ, would you let her go? Because she's a real woman. Somebody had to take a photo of her, you know. That's why that's so evil. All prostitution is evil under the sight of God. All homosexuality, even if it's consensual, even if it's legal, it is an abnormal use, and you are sinning against God and yourself. Repent. Repent. Because the fires of hell will burn forever, and there will be no relent. There will be no forgiveness for sin after you're dead. Right now is the day of salvation. Right now is the day to repent. And I tell you, I forgive you. And I accept you, and I love you. And I want you to know the truth. And the truth is Jesus. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Don't think of him as a religious man. There's nothing that he came to bring that was religion. Jesus Christ is a king. And he only has one thing to tell you, and that is to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I offer you this olive branch of the kingdom today. I offer you the kingdom. Would you drink his blood? Would you eat his body? Would you cut through that everlasting ribbon? Because on the day of judgment, there will be no denial that you signed that contract. You can say, I ate Jesus. I drank his blood, and God will accept you no matter what. It is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony by which we are saved. I want you to share this podcast with everyone you know who has immorality in their lives, who has sin in their lives. Yes to your pastor. Yes to your Christian brother. Yes to your homosexual friend whom I love. And I'm not preaching against homosexuality. I'm not trying to convert you, although you are trying to convert us to homosexuality all the time through the rainbow flags and the decisions of Labor government and safe schools and all these LGBTI things and the takeover of Hollywood. You are trying to make heterosexuals gay, but we're not allowed to make you straight. I'm not trying to make you straight. I never said that. Go and listen to what I said, because the Holy Spirit is a really good lawyer. I'm saying that the homosexuality is legal and consensual and may even be enjoyable, but it is illegal according to God's word, and it is a sin according to the Bible. And I'm not causing you to change your identity, because your identity has been decided by God. You are not gay or straight or any of those things. You are a man, and you are a woman, and you are a child of God. So if you want to be gay, be gay. As I said, you can take a rock and use it to build a house, or you can take a rock and kill somebody with it. And you and I will be held accountable for our own actions. So I'm not trying to convert you. I'm telling you that homosexuality is a sin. And I'm letting you choose what you do with your own body. And I bless you in it. I release you to be who you want to be, because that is God and that is love. He will never control you. He will never change you. I will not change you. I cannot change you. But the Holy Spirit can convict you of sin. Now, you might hate me because I've told you the truth. Let me just read this from 1 John. And I'll let the Word of God speak to you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for your kingdom come and for your work. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with the light, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood covenant of Jesus Christ his Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So you can do that if you want to deceive yourself. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and this is my invitation, not to be straight or gay, my invitation is to confess your sin to God. He is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. I love you. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you to say it out loud, because we are saved by our word and by his blood. Say it out loud: Jesus, I accept you. I accept your blood sacrifice. I cover my life with your blood. I don't understand what John's saying, but I want it. I don't know why, but I need it. Let me be born again. Birth me into your kingdom today. In Jesus' name. And I pray that he would do that by the power of the Spirit. I pray that you'd be filled with the Spirit and overwhelmed with the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit and in fire. I'm Jonathan. I'm an ordained minister of the Full Gospel Churches of Australia. I bless you.